Welcome to another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I'm your host today, Dylan Samar. Joining me is former host Jared Griffin. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. So you're here today to talk about the Shakespeares and an upcoming performance that they're having, representing them as their coach. But before we get into that, I'm going to kick off with a question that I've had since I got here. There is an incredible presence of community theater here on Kodiak, more so than in many large cities I've lived in. I'm absolutely blown away by it. What set the groundwork for there to be such an incredible community theater presence here?
Well, I think the community theater tradition here in Kodiak is probably going on, honestly, probably 50 years at this point. We had it started off with there was the Cry of the Wild Ram in the 80s. I don't know if it went back to the 70s, but in the 80s, you know, out there at the amphitheater. And and then with Jerry Wilson and our own state senator Gary Stevens at the college, doing shows, doing community theater quite often. They're, you know, they kind of brought in that or laid the groundwork, I guess, laid the foundation for what people expect in our town. And then on into the 80s and 90s, and we've been able to keep other great talent here from directors who have performed and trained, like in New York City, Veronica Costa-Bolton, Lissa Woodbury Jensen, and others with Jenny Stevens bringing her experience too. So the tradition keeps going, and then I think another big part of that is with the Coast Guard. We get like fresh talent every year from Coasties and their spouses who that was something that they did. So we get, so it's constantly fresh, you know, and that's really, really cool. So, you know, whatever I'm doing, I'm just riding on the coattails of these great people who have come before me and kind of laid out that tradition and that standard of excellence that Kodiak expects when they come watch a play.
You know, you say that, but you also led our local high school team to absolutely clean up at what is it, two state competitions and running?
We're in the street.
So let's get into that. When I last did a story on the Shakespeares, it was, of course, in the context of their incredible victory at the state. At that particular state drama competition. So what have you guys been up to since then? And tell us a little bit about the drama competition, how it went down, and what awards you guys won.
Oh, gosh. So we defended our state title in drama. This was only our third year of competition, and we've won that title twice. That's good. Very few schools in Alaska have seen back-to-back championships, and we had a strong team last year, another strong team this year, and with a lot of seniors. We won that. The entire team has qualified for some national events to compete at the national level, so that's another great milestone that we've reached. And we were able to defend our Reader's Theater title and send some people to nationals again. So another big success for us. And I think, you know, something else to keep in mind too is that the schools that we were competing against, you know, they have formal classes, you know, with teachers who are taking them through this, and we're just there are no classes, you know, there are no theater classes, no acting classes, no public speaking classes at the high school. So this is all after school in my spare time And so that we were able to do that, I think, speaks to a lot of the grit that that our young actors have in this town.
Well, congratulations to you and your team. So with that said, what are some of the challenges that have gone into maintaining theater in the active way that you were doing now that we've entered, you know, this pandemic and soon to be post-pandemic phase?
I think the hardest, the most difficult one has been recruiting, because we're, you know, just because things have, you know, things have changed and we're not able to do as many activities as we had been and kind of get our name out there. Last year we were doing something every month, and but this year not so much. And so you know, next year is going to be a rebuilding year for us, and so it's been kind of difficult to recruit, to, you know, to replenish the team and the club and the leadership. But we've got some strong freshmen and some really strong eighth graders coming up this year who have been cast in the play. So I'm really looking forward to that and this new kind of energy that they're going to bring to everything that we do. So that's been the biggest challenge. The other one, of course, is that, yeah, we just haven't been able to do as much. You know, performing arts organizations like ours are, primary revenue stream is ticket sales. And so so since we haven't been able to really do a lot of shows, you know, we haven't been able to earn any revenue. So so there's that. So there's that too. That's not too big of a concern. That's definitely there also. And then the third thing, probably the most important, is I can see, and parents have told me that the toll that the pandemic and the shutdowns and the lockdowns are having on their teenagers' mental health, we're at crisis mode with the mental health situation with our teenagers, and that's really going to define them for a long time. So being able to do theater is a way to keep them healthy. Yeah.
So going into that a bit is that, you know, the performers and people in the audience today are going to be bearing forward this moment in history, and obviously any theater that's being performed at all is done under these exotic circumstances imposed upon us by the pandemic. And in your opinion, how do you see the storytelling tradition on Kodiak being changed, or at the very least how it will remember this period in Kodiak's history?
I think it might be a story of extremes. You know, you reminded me of the state championship, you know, that the team won a couple months ago, was this really big high point of the year, of the season for them. During the tournament, I was in the hospital for a kidney thing. And then the power went out, and there's this really cool story about how the team came together and shown their flashlights on their phones to help Allie perform her piece. It was just a really great team building, you know, kind of moment that I even now I still get chills, you know, thinking about it, because it was such a neat moment and a beautiful moment to live through. And those kids, I think that's something that is that they're going to remember. But at the same time, you know, that great memory of winning these championships and all these awards is still clouded by everything over the past year that, the imagine, imagine being told that you have to isolate yourself, that you can't touch your friends, that you can't share a cup of coffee, anymore. And it has really, really taken a toll on them. And we've had discussions in some of our rehearsals about that. One of their fellow competitors from another school in Anchorage, who the team had bonded with over the past couple of years, she was in her first year of college, and she, unfortunately, she took her life because of because of mental health issues, and it really, really hit the kids really super hard. So we had to postpone one of our rehearsal days just so we could sit and talk it through. And it's I don't know of a lot of people. I mean, people who have teenagers can see it. They can definitely see it, but it has hit them so hard. So I think it's going to affect them for a long time. So you got that extreme balanced with we're doing, the championship, and then, hopefully going to ending this year on a high good note with this play, which is a funny, lighthearted, just goof around, kind of Shakespearean play. And so hopefully it's those high point memories that will carry them through and keep them healthy.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that resonates with many people. It's there have been a lot of highs and lows for I think all of us during the pandemic. So what does it mean to finally be having an in-person show after all this time? I mean, when was the last time that the Shakespeare's organized an in-person show?
Oh gosh, well, our last show was almost exactly it was right before spring break last year when we did. With the middle, it was actually a middle school show, but the high schoolers helped out. It was a show we did called Puffs. It was a Harry Potter parody kind of play about the Hufflepuffs, and it was we had sold out nights. Every show was sold out. It was the highest grossing middle school show ever. We made so much money off of that show; it was ridiculous. And because it was good, because our actors were good and the material was good and everything about it was good. And then it was like literally 2 weeks later, 2 weeks after that is when everything locked down. So so it was weird kind of coming off that high of doing this extremely successful show and then not being able to do anything for another 12 months. So it means a lot. So it means, a heck of a lot to these kids to come back to it.
So leading into talking about this show, how did your recruitment drive go? What does your roster look like going into this show? How's all that worked out?
Our roster. That's right. Now I feel like a coach.
You are a coach.
So we have... about half of the team right now, are graduating seniors. So we have I think we're only going to have one returning senior. We only have like one junior this year who will have, and then a couple juniors, a couple sophomores. So it's so going into next year, we're definitely going to do some recruiting over the summer with the Kodiak Arts Council is putting together some arts camps, so we can do some recruiting over the summer with some theater there, and also putting together a middle school competition team also, and so that will hopefully translate into keeping our roster vibrant and diverse too. I'd really like to have a nice diverse
looks like we've lost Jared here.
A team going next year, in finding shows that kids kind of want to do. I think next year the club is looking at doing Lord of the Flies And Mean Girls, I think, is also on the short list. And so I think those are two popular kinds of shows that some kids will turn out for.
I'd show up for Mean Girls. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do the students feel going into this? I mean, it's been a while since they've been off stage, although I'm sure they're still riding the high from absolutely sweeping the state competition.
I think right now they're feeling okay. You know, they with 9 or 10 days to go before our first performance, you know, you can see that the nerves are starting to get to them, but they're still having fun. We're still coming up with new jokes to do in every rehearsal, and that's always a good sign when you're doing a comedy and your cast feels comfortable to be adding in jokes, adding in bits. It is Shakespeare. We are doing, you know, Shakespearean language. And so that's another little curveball for them that a lot of them are doing really, really well with. So we're trying to be as close to the text as possible. We're improvising very, very, very few lines. But so it's a lot of the physical comedy that they're adding in. And so that's probably the highlight of the rehearsals. It's like, how can we add in a new joke, you know, to this scene or to this relationship or something? I will say, you know, all of our rehearsals, we are masked. We're masked and all we're wearing masks in all the rehearsals. And so it has really hurt their ability to articulate and their ability to project, because the masks are just so restrictive. We're trying out some new kind of other performance masks that do allow them to open up their mouths some more, but they're bigger, and that just creates like more humidity, you know, in them, and so it's more difficult to breathe.
Unfortunately, I know.
Yeah. So they're struggling, you know, they're struggling with struggling how to figure out, you know, how to get the best of both worlds. Now the performances themselves, if they are speaking, they will not be masked most of the time. There are some bits and some scenes will be masked, and they'll be masked and you know, backstage and everything. But
why some scenes and not others?
So in some scenes, like some of the fairies will be wearing masks as part of their, you know, kind of fairy getup. We've created this prologue where there's this big kind of fight scene at the beginning. So they'll be masked during their fight scenes. But you know, it's Shakespeare, and everything is dialogue, everything is language. So it's important that we see their mouths, and it's important that they articulate the rhythm and the consonants that Shakespeare has written. Our costumer, they're incorporating masks into the costumes, you know, into the era that we've set it in, and so it should look seamless, I think. But then we got microphones to deal with, so we can't.
It's a little bit of everything at once.
The show. Do what?
It's everything at once.
Yeah, everything at once, yeah.
I was going to ask, actually, pulling on that thread a little bit. I mean, we've gotten into, in some degree of detail, how COVID has changed acting in the performance itself. But how has it changed the stagecraft and the technical direction of a performance?
So we've been really limited on the technical aspects of stagecraft, because our workroom, our construction room, is now a storage room for PPE. It's just full of cleaning equipment, so we don't have access to the tools and to the space, you know. So what we've done is we are digitizing a lot of that now, and kind of going low. It's weird. We're going like low tech in some ways, but we're also adding in new digital tools such as animated projections. are instead of, you know, building flats or big backdrops and painting and things like that, we just bought some projections to put on the to put up stage, and it's going to look really cool because we're taking the story of Midsummer Night's Dream and we're putting it in a late 19th century Victorian goth kind of context. And so projections are going to help kind of recreate that mood. We are also giving Puck, who, if anybody's familiar with the story of Midsummer Night's Dream, Puck is the trickster fairy. We're going to try to give Puck a GoPro and a little camera on their chest to as they do some of their pranks. And so we're kind of experimenting with, we're taking this opportunity to experiment with different technologies. And adding in some digital tools to what we're doing. And we'll see. We're experimenting. We'll see how successful we are, but I hope we can continue to use them.
Well, I, for one, think that that's pretty cool. And there's something to be said that, you know, even in a perhaps dark time, people still are finding the room to really get creative with some of these performances.
Yeah.
So when, where... what are the show times? Where can people get tickets?
All right. Nitty gritty. So this is William Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. The kids voted on this show like a year ago. They wanted something happy and comedic and romantic. We've added in some violence, of course. It just seems like it wouldn't be a Jared show if there wasn't some kind of violence in there, you know, somewhere. And so the kids have actually learned stage combat techniques. Tammy Fogel and Caitlin Fogel came in and taught some stage combat. So they're learning stuff too. So this is next week, April 15th, 16th, and 17th. April 15th, that's a Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's going to be our live streaming show. So people who don't want to come to the auditorium because they're distant social distancing or in quarantine or they just don't want to come out, can watch a live stream. Kodiak Arts Council is helping us film it, and we're gonna have, they're creating a website or a web page for us so that you can watch and listen, and I think we're gonna have two cameras, so you can do that next Thursday. Next Friday and Saturday will be our live performances, and Friday show is at 7 p.m. Saturday shows at 2 p.m. and at 7 p.m. And you can get your tickets online, and we can have, I think we can fit as many as 200 people in the auditorium with social distancing. And so we can still have a big crowd. So if you're worried that you don't want to come because you don't want to take a seat away from a parent or a family member or a friend, you don't have to worry about that. There's plenty of room for everyone. And we got three shows, so you can come to any of those. And it's at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium on the main stage. So it's gonna be great. And we're kind of honored to be the first kind of open public live show that anybody can come watch, but we're all in that vein. We're also the guinea pigs too.
Right. Well, I mean that's quite exciting. So, to that effect, I wanted to ask, the pandemic has had, I know, even at like the collegiate level, and even at my alma mater, the Arizona State University, the pandemic was having a very profound, chilling effect on arts, extracurricular activities of all shapes and sizes, clubs, stuff like that. So I was curious to how you've seen theater and other artistic extracurriculars at the high school level being affected by the pandemic, what kind of long-term institutional challenges they're going to have going forward, and what sort of changes that you think are going to be really solidified into something permanent that have been as a result of an adaptation to the conditions imposed by the pandemic?
I think the biggest one is going to be live streaming. I think that that is going to, going forward, a viable option, at least for us. You know, the school district, the Arts Council have invested in these digital tools, streaming equipment, you know, expertise and training that going forward, especially for such a rural isolated place as, or not isolated, but rural and remote place such as Kodiak, live streaming is, I think, is going to be here to stay. In terms, especially for access, it gives, you know, family members from on the mainland or down south a chance to watch something quality and not a DVD recording of a video recording of the shows, which the quality is really bad. Live streaming, though, the quality is actually really good. So I think that that's definitely going to be a part of it going forward. And we got a little taste of that last year. We did a showcase over Zoom, and we found that doing it over Zoom with the streaming capabilities, that's actually a new revenue stream for us. So it's an opportunity, you know, a pandemic opportunity. We've seen a, this could be a new viable revenue stream for us. So. But that just means that we've got to, you know, make sure we maintain our standards of excellence, and we don't want to put, I told the kids, we can do Shakespeare, but we are not doing bad Shakespeare. If this looks like this is going to be bad Shakespeare, I'm pulling the plug. We're not going to do it. So with that being said, yeah, with the live stream, we got to step it up. We never know. Now you never know who's going to be watching, who's going to buy a ticket and watch. So that's definitely here to stay. I think even a lot of the health and safety protocols might even stay. You know, when we do shows in the past, before COVID, we said, yeah, if you're sick, you know, stay home. But if you're going to come, please wear a mask. We've done that, but hardly anybody ever did that. Now I think that that's going to be, you know, a pretty certain expectation.
And I certainly know some immunocompromised people who have told me that it's an accessibility issue to them for things like that. Now now that some of them have access to the vaccine, they're feeling quite comfortable seeing that people are taking these extra precautions to make sure that, I mean, because the, you know, washing your hands all the time and always having hand sanitizer on, wearing a mask a lot, I mean, that's going to, outside of COVID, that's still going to have a very powerful impact on different diseases that might be walking abroad in the community. Lastly, we're down to about our last, you know, 30 seconds or so here, but what is your guys' schedule looking like going forward outside of just this performance? Are you largely seeing a probable return to normal?
Yeah, I think so. I think coming this fall, we'll be back to normal. There still might be some social distancing, who knows, and some masking, but I think we're going to have a full season next year. And we're planning. We're planning for a full season, so I'm excited.
Okay. And how can people support your guys' work and the arts at the school district level?
Oh, they can buy tickets, and even if they don't think they're going to come, they can still buy it. We're pretty okay. You know, we're okay financially, but. Just, you know, support the kids, tell them that they're doing a great job, because they are. Shoot them a message or a phone call. These kids really, really need the encouragement and the support from adults right now.
Okay. Well, this has been another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I have been your host today, Dylan Samar. Joining me was former host and coach of the Shakespeares, Jared Griffin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Take care, and you have a lovely day.
You too.